You've probably heard about the movie Overcomer, but you may not know that there are a few books and Bible studies inspired by the film. One is called Defined by Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, which is a book and Bible study based on insights from the book of Ephesians. Filled with personal stories and practical wisdom, Defined will challenge you to let the one who knows you best be the one who guides your heart the most. Another book for teens and young women is called Radiant by best-selling author and co-star of Overcomer, Priscilla Shire. For these teen girls, there's also the Defined Bible Study, an invitation for teen girls and young women to enjoy a candid conversation on identity with Priscilla Shire. You can find these books and Bible studies at lifeway.com/overcomer.
Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of the Group Answers Podcast. I'm Brian Daniel with Chris Rett.
What's up, Brian?
Welcome back. You've been gone what feels like weeks.
My travel schedule has been crazy. But this is the season. A lot of churches are training group leaders. So they invite me out to come and help with that. And my book just came out, so they want to introduce that to their group leaders. And I love it. But I did a stint that almost killed me. It almost killed me.
Pretty intense, because you went from the Influencers Conference to hitting the road for about 2 weeks, right? The book release, a lot of stuff.
In the middle of that, I dropped my daughter off for college, which even though it's her junior year, it never gets easier. Yeah. So I did that. And on the way to dropping her off, I had a training gig. So I did basically East Coast time, Central time, East Coast time, West Coast time, Central, East Coast, Central within 2 weeks.
So by the time this post, we're winding down the summer now, but by the time this post, we will know, I believe, who will be in the World Series. Do you want to make a prediction?
I'll go ahead. Since Dave Schrader's in the room, I'm going to say the St. Louis Cardinals. What about you, Dave?
Good answer. Very good answer. So they will have, by October, it's just beginning, right? So yeah, here we go. Definitely. Yeah, I think we're there.
Yeah, it's the Cardinals' year.
No, it's probably not, but
every year is the Cardinals' year.
I know. No, Braves are looking pretty good. Brian Dan, you got to be a Braves fan.
I was once a Braves fan.
What, like in the 90s?
Yeah, that's right. Man. When we lived down there, I loved the Tom Glavine teams.
Yeah.
Most people talk about Greg Maddux, but I loved Tom Glavine.
Oh, yeah.
Not love in the strictest sense of the word, mind you, but I love Tom Glavine.
I heard something yesterday about fans that boo. In different sports, like Philadelphia is famous for booing their teams.
And now Indianapolis.
Indianapolis with the Andrew Luck thing. And they actually brought up St. Louis Cardinals. We should preface this with Dave and I are both from St. Louis. Yeah. They said they don't boo their team. Like, they just don't boo the Cardinals. And somebody said that it's because they're really never bad. I mean, they don't win it every year. But the last time they were in last place in their division was like 20 years ago or something like that, or even longer.
They've kind of booed management this past year, which is funny because, hopefully by the time this airs, they are doing well in the playoffs. But the reality is middle of this year, they were not doing well. And that's the closest I've seen them in a long time, just fans kind of turn on management. But
that's true.
But for
the most part, they're not booing players.
No, they're not booing players, unless something extraordinary happened in a negative way.
And there's also probably, and they talked about this in the radio, there's this Midwestern thing. Let's see if you agree with that, because we're both Midwestern, of it's all right, we'll get it next year.
Yeah,
there's that attitude of we'll come back.
Yeah, we're pretty middle of the road. So it goes to everything from like Missouri for the longest time would always elect whoever would always vote for whichever president won.
Yeah.
Like they would just it was always a swing state that kind of knew like the moderate direction of what was happening. So I don't think that's way anymore. But it's a weird thing about the Midwest. So.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But we're hopeful people.
Hopeful. Yes. There you go. That's a way of putting it. Yeah. There you go.
It seems anticlimactic now, but Dave Schroeder, welcome to the show, Dave.
Absolutely.
Is the marketing leader, the marketing leader
sure.
for B&H Books and co-host, which brings us to today's today's show of the Table of Malcontents podcast. Tell us about that show.
Absolutely. So I co-host it with Aaron Armstrong, who also works here with the Gospel Project. He's the brand manager for it. And then with Barnabas Piper, who doesn't work anymore, but we worked together for many years. You know, we had conversations all the time off mic just about books. And we just discovered, like, we're all reading a ton of books. And it became that point where we liked reading. We liked reading widely, not just one specific genre. And so we were always talking about books. And we thought, you know, let's record. Now, to credit, Aaron was already doing a podcast for a few years that had a very explicit purpose. And it kind of became its own personality with this. So it's fun. We just have a good time. But honestly, the idea is not just to do it to have a conversation among three people, but to actually help people become better readers. That's it. So
how much of your reading is professional? Because obviously you've got to do a lot of that. And how much of it is personal? And are you able to kind of divide it out?
And how do you balance that time? Because I follow you on Goodreads and other social media, and it looks like you read about a book every 36 hours or so. Yeah.
Dave's reading one right now. He's doing the podcast. He's got his book in his hand.
That explains some of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a liar, guys. Okay, this is confession time now. No, it's you know, it's one of those things where it's everything is personal and everything's professional, if that makes sense. So we have the blessing of working in an area where we're publishing great books that are based on biblical content. So that's beneficial on a personal level for me, but also as a marketer, I'm looking at it in a certain way. I would probably say of like direct ones, I certainly don't have time to read every single book that we're publishing, but I read a lot of them or I'm skimming them pretty carefully. But it's fun. I mean, I enjoy it. So it's not like I don't look at it as saying, boy, this is homework. This is a bad experience. It's awesome. But which leads into today, the discussion, like it's never going to be enough because I can never just read the same genre. You know, that gets boring over time. When I really was not always a reader. I started reading when I was really like 22. I mean, I read books. We all read books growing up. We were required to read books. But there's this moment I get out of college. It was that summer after college, and I realized, wow, okay, well, what do I do? And I'm at a friend's house, and I see a great book, Stephen Ambrose's book on Lewis and Clark, Undaunted Courage, which is a fantastic book.
Yep.
It's so good.
It is one of my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, and I always recommend that to people. Say, listen, if you don't like history books, read that. And I'll give them that and a few others. Say, try them out because it's such a beautiful narrative. And so it's a story you follow along with, and it's not just a bunch of facts and figures that make up a history class or something. And so, when I started reading, all I did was read history books. I've always been interested in history, but
I am too. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. You feel like you're getting something out of it. You're learning, but, but I probably for a decade straight, that's about all that I read, which is, it's great. You increase knowledge certainly, but at the same time, you don't really grow as a reader. So I started reading other genres as well. I would say about a decade ago, I then discovered fiction. I know it sounds funny. Like everyone's different. Some people have always been reading fiction. Never did.
I was going to say that because that's been the gap in my reading for several years is fiction. Because I used to read fiction like back in the day when Grisham's novels were decent. You know, I would read every Grisham novel and it's probably bad to say, but he's fallen off the cliff a little bit.
You're accurate.
And so, but then, you know, I got into nonfiction and a lot of leadership books and stuff like that. And then I felt like if I was reading fiction that I wasn't really reading, that it wasn't like expanding my mind and I wasn't learning. But I've come around on that in just the last couple of years, really. And now I'm starting to read fiction again. And it does. It expands your mind, and it makes you think differently because it's a different genre than I normally read.
It's the most human, I think, fiction. And in some ways, I think because of that, fiction is, I would contend and have that it's truer than nonfiction because it comes from a human perspective, uniquely human. So here's the ultimate test for your well-roundedness, both of you guys.
Well, Dave
fiction.
Will have this one.
You know, here, yeah. Well, we'll see.
I don't know.
So, how many Jane Austen books have you read, Dave Schroeder?
Just what I was probably required to read.
There is one. That's the test.
I've read Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility.
That's impressive. Sarad, how about you?
Dave has read two more than I have.
Oh, man.
I have read My daughters and my wife have read all of them.
Oh,
and
great.
I've seen the movies. Yeah. Does that help? Or at least part of the movies.
Well, not on this particular
like
podcast.
The band would say depends which one. Yeah.
I'm terrible with that. Yeah. Like I said, fiction is just not my.
So yeah.
I did read some in college. I'll say that. I did read some in college.
You guys haven't had Karen Swallow Pryor on the show, have you?
No, she would be great, though.
She would be great. And she's writing actually a commentary, more or less, so like a biblical commentary on Sense and Sensibility and a few others to come after that. But yeah, I mean, for kind of from a Christian, you know, point of view, how to look at a book like that. So
I have read one. I have read Emma. And then the quote that I remember is this: seldom, very seldom, does complete truth belong to any human disclosure. How about that?
Wow.
Give it up for me. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up.
Brian Daniel, yeah. The man who...
It was a plant. I mean, I'm just leading you guys to, you know.
You've hosted a sports show for so long. It's like this, but this is what's beautiful right here. The fact that, Jane Austen can touch the heart of Brian Daniel.
You know what he's angling for? He wants to be a guest on The Malcontents.
That would be great. You'd have a hard time getting me to be quiet.
We're kind of becoming a Malcontents episode here, so we should probably.
Yeah. So, Chris, tell us why this is worth talking about in this context.
Yeah. When we were brainstorming topics for future episodes, I thought it'd be interesting to bring in the idea of books and community, because I think even though books is kind of a solitary, you know, you do it on your own, there's a lot of book clubs out there and people host book clubs. I know a lot of small groups that will do a book study, not necessarily a Bible study, but actually take a book and study the Bible or study that together. And that's the discussion. So that's why we wanted to bring Dave in, is to talk about what's kind of the differences and does it make sense to have a book study and so I want to ask you just to start out is, what is the difference for you between a Bible study and a book study? If you've got a book club and a Bible study, is there a difference? Should there be a difference? What is that?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So in its most simplistic form, you have to look at a Bible study is about spiritual growth, right? It's about understanding the Bible, about it transforming, you know, working in your heart. A book study is most focused on knowledge. It doesn't mean that both of them can't do the same thing. It's just that's kind of the main point of each. I have known a handful of studies that have been able to blend that together, but the reality is it's very difficult to do, and I'll explain further. I mean, you guys are the all-star team of how to do small groups and how to fully engage the Bible in a small group setting. In a book study, and the reason, like, you know, I think this started. I interviewed my mom. Now, that was another prompt, I think, Chris. I interviewed my mom about book clubs because she's been doing them for 40 years. I mean, in different cities, different friends. And, like, that's a way of, like, her building community. She has all these people who just want to grow and want to read things, but most importantly, want to talk about them. That's it. You mentioned, like, book reading is a solitary experience. For the most part, it is. But also, like, think about movies. Like, do you guys go see movies by yourself? No judgment, just curious.
Occasionally, when I'm on the road.
Yeah, when I travel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But for the most part, if you had the choice, you're saying to your spouse or someone else or friend, like, let's go see a movie together.
Yeah, it's a better experience.
Right. It's a better experience. And what do you do right after the movie?
Talk about it.
You talk about it. Right. So a book club is like a version of that. Like, let's kind of all go see a movie together. In this case, let's all read a book together and let's talk about it. You know, it's the problem is a book can't, for the most part, isn't going to be read over a 2-hour period like a movie, but there's a lot to unpack and there's a lot to get out of it that some people can see that others cannot. That's what I love about it too, because I don't see everything that someone else smarter than me is going to see.
Yeah. See, I've never been a part of a book club. We were talking about this before we aired. I've always wanted to, had thoughts about it. Like we were talking, I just heard that Andrew Luck has a book club. It just blew my mind. I mean, this NFL quarterback, because he just retired, but has a book club. But I think of the Office episode. You like the Office?
Yes.
Where they started the book club in the break room. And they're bringing all the little sandwiches, the little, you know.
The finer things club. They
yes,
do whatever it is.
The little teacups and all that stuff. And that's what's in my mind, what a book club is like.
Yeah.
It's probably not always, right? There's probably different, like, types of book clubs, like guys-type book clubs, women's, you know.
Yeah.
What have you seen that are out there?
Yeah, well, for the most part, from when I referenced my mom, like the majority of book clubs out there are women-led, women-run, women-attended. I know a lot of ones that are guys' book clubs, but you just don't find as many. Usually it's around some other type of fellowship. And so that makes it... I know. I'm doing fellowship in quote marks, so, in quotations. Whatever.
Yeah, look at your pre-show notes.
It'll be in the outtakes when you actually.
I'm sweating right now. This is a Lifeway podcast, so no. But no, guys. The problem with guys I've seen with book clubs is there's some who are like crazy fast readers. They read a ton of books, and there's some who feel so intimidated, like they feel can't be part of that. And I'm sure women feel that way too about certain book clubs. But the reality is, you have to create an atmosphere where everyone feels like, listen, come, man, you don't have to be like the expert reviewer here. You just need to come and read the material and talk about it. That's really it, because they're going to see something that another doesn't.
Do you feel like most guys don't read anymore? That's what it seems to me. It's just not a thing anymore.
That's the stereotype for sure.
Well, yeah.
Well, so I like getting a lot of information from a lot of different places. So like I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I read a lot of physical books. All of them work for me. And I think podcasts certainly have been on the rise. But the reality is we're just pretty distracted, and we have lots of excuses except for reading. And I mean, Netflix has got everything you want to watch, you know, anything. And there's always a sports game.
Everything's on demand, yeah.
Right. And also, I don't know, if we're parents, we got kids stuff to go do. Like, it's life is busy. It's busy for men and women. But I'm one of those two. I said, you've got lots of choices to make. You have the time. When someone says, I don't have the time, like, you have the time.
Right.
You've just chosen to use it a little bit differently. To me, I always have a book with me. I always have an audiobook going. So, and it's so easy to have both of those. And by the way, I'm not one of those who's buying a ton. I do buy a lot of books, but I also get a lot from the library too. And I, like I said, I always have an audiobook or two queued up, ready to go.
So I've become, in the last probably year, a big audiobook fan.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't cost that much, and what you can get out of it. And then what I do is I work out at the gym 4 or 5 days a week. That's an hour that I have to read, you know, but I can't hold a book, but I can listen to a book.
Yeah.
And so that's an hour extra. But then you talk about is listening to an audiobook the same as reading reading a book, which I don't know.
How do you feel? Yeah. I mean, I have an answer, but yeah.
I feel like for me, it's probably not as an in-depth, because I can't go and I can't underline and make notes in the margins, but it's still expanding my mind.
It's a way that you can get volume. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. So, Dave, earlier in the conversation, you made a distinction between a book club and a Bible study, and you had those kind of attributes. When you say book club in this context, I mean, are you thinking about something like an Emma, or like something that you've read by Tony La Russa, or are you thinking more in lines of like a John Piper book, or something that maybe David Platt would have written, or even Jen Wilkin? I mean, are those the kinds of things that we're talking about here in this context? And Chris, I know one of the things in groups, one of the things that we talk about is small group resource creators is, I hate to use the word competitor, because we're all in the same business of facilitating the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. But books is one of those things that groups use.
Yeah.
So I think it would be helpful maybe what does make a good book club. For those leaders out there that either do this or maybe you're looking at taking a break, I think it'd be a great, Chris, tell me what you think, it'd be a great summer thing to do. So you pull off like maybe a less intense Bible study and go to something that is a book that is just like a summer reading almost.
Absolutely. And you're right. Since we all work together on sometimes the same type of message, that is a Bible study that's more in depth of exploring Scripture versus
written for group discussion.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about purpose. That's it. And for the most part, books are designed for a personal experience. Mm-hmm. And so... And again, that's how most of the books I read, like I look at them that way, saying, how can I reflect on this? I'm not always saying, okay, I got to call someone up and talk about it. I mean, I do naturally because I like talking about books, but that's not always the purpose of a book. So you have to look at like, what's the chief end goal? You mentioned one of those articles, and Taylor Combs had a great line that I highlighted that he wrote about. He says, you know, the chief end of a Bible study is to love God more and as a result to obey him more. That's come from someone who's a publisher of books, but he's also someone who leads small groups, community groups, and he, and this is why I remember talking to him about writing an article to help differentiate this, because it is important that way. I'm not saying I don't have my Bible open when I'm reading a book, like a separate book, but it's not the natural thing I do unless there's something I kind of pause and put the book away and say, okay, I want to explore that story in Scripture a little bit more. Because the nice thing about a book is it kind of takes you through in a narrative way of understanding it. That's very relatable. Whereas a Bible study, and you guys, again, I look at you as the expert, it's like, boy, you're going so much more in depth, getting into the heart of what Scripture reveals about this. Which it's a different experience, you know, and they're both wonderful. A lot of times what I love is that, so our church did a summer kind of study on the reason for God. So we had like the actual book that came out from Tim Keller, but then there was also the Bible study that was out, and it's great. And it's funny, people were reading the book and also on their own, but we were coming and going through like the study component of it. So to me, it was like once we came together, it switched into Bible study mode, which was just a different context. And we kind of put the book away, which is bad, and you moved in that mode. And so when I look at a lot of them that we work on, you know, like J.D. Greer's Above All, you know, Gospel Above All, the Bible study versus Above All, the book, I'm like, they're a different experience in how you go through them, and they each have a great purpose. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, for the most part, it's an individual experience, but book clubs are meant to be a little bit more casual. If you're reading like a really intense story, like we were talking about fiction, again, like some fiction could be absolutely just gut-wrenching, or a memoir from someone. I get it. Like, you know, you're crying from in an empathetic way. It doesn't mean it's necessarily just because of Scripture or something like that. Usually it's because of a person's story. I feel like that's where it leads into. But there are plenty of exceptions to all of this. That's why, like, it's not so easily, like, packaged together. It's always going to be a little gray. We've talked about that, Brian, before. Like, what should I do? When a customer of ours asks, like, well, which one do I do? I'm like, well, I've always just started asking questions.
Bible study, of course.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Brian's in the room. Hey, I'm trying to be diplomatic, Dave, here, all right?
So I usually advise most small groups not to do a book study. And I think what you pointed out is a good example of how it can work when it's a supplement.
Yeah.
When there's a book that goes along with the Bible study, and you're like, if you want to go more in depth and do this. But I've just found, and the reason that I don't recommend it is a personal experience. Several years ago, we decided to do a book study with my small group. And this was back, The Prayer of Jabez, if you remember that book.
Oh, yeah.
That's been a few years ago.
I just aged myself. Well, I just aged myself, but that's okay. And whatever you think, you know, theologically, whatever, put that out. But it's like 90 pages long.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, they could read it almost on the way to group, you know, or get the gist of it. And so we were going to do that, and we were only going to do a couple weeks of it. And we got to our first night, and I looked around the room, and it was pretty obvious that almost no one in the group had read it.
Yeah.
And like my best friend, who I expected definitely would read it to support me, had not read it. And I thought, book studies just don't work because a lot of people just don't read anymore. Yeah. So I like the idea of having either as a supplement or having a Bible study, and outside of that, having a book club. So would you suggest to somebody that they're part of a Bible study and a book club?
Yeah, all I would say is whatever book you're choosing, get away from the topics of what you're going through in the Bible study, just in the most general sense. I'll give you a good parallel. Not that I'm suggesting this directly, but have you ever read Cormac McCarthy's The Road?
I have not either.
I have
not. Okay. Highly recommend it.
I forgot it's a podcast and I have to audibly say something.
Well, it's okay. Well, it's it is a post-apocalyptic story of a father protecting his son in this.
Yeah, they made a movie out of it.
They made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
The book is one of my favorite books of all time, but I'll explain. So I don't want to ruin any of it. It's the beautiful care of a father for his son. And I don't know exactly where spiritually Cormac McCarthy is, but when I read a story like that, what I see is the parallel to God, our own Father, and how He takes care of us and protects us, and yet we acknowledge how hard the world really is. Okay, like there's a lot to glean out of that to talk with a group of people about. That's not a Bible study. If there were a parallel Bible study, first of all, for the post-apocalyptic novel, that'd be fascinating.
You guys should produce one of those.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Brian, I'm just giving you ideas. Come on, I just need a little something for
we're
the effort.
Just clicking
here.
These off right here.
No, but can you imagine? But there are tremendous Bible studies about our Heavenly Father, like Not Forsaken, you know, that you just published, which is great, with Louis Giglio. That's a great one. But like that's like a whole other in-depth experience to what Scripture helps us glean into looking at our Heavenly Father. So totally different, you know, resources essentially, but they can have a unique experience from each that both help each other out in a way. So good.
Yeah. One of the questions we have on here is, should you do both? And for me as a book lover, I think the answer is yes. But I think you just stumbled upon something that if you're going to, and Chris, it'd be interesting to get your take on this, especially given your experience with Prayer of Jabez, they complement one another. Mm-hmm. So it would be really hard for like your small group to also be your book club.
Yeah.
I don't see that working. But as an individual, it'd be really interesting, I would say, if someone did like a Not Forsaken by Lou Giglio, but also was doing the parallel with The Road. So you get the fictitious account of this loving father and son, but then also a more, I guess I would use the word biblical, but a more robust biblical exposure to God as Father.
Like you could read through beautiful stories about friendship, you know, in terms of a book, and then look at a study in Acts and some of the epistles of like what friendship looks like and is modeled for us from a Scripture point of view, which is fantastic. So, you know, when people like Chronicles of Narnia and throughout Harry Potter and a bunch of other great stories about friendship, like it's it ultimately kind of points into like how I should be living every day ultimately too. And actually it illuminates Scripture. It kind of makes me want to go back and say, okay, like what can I learn about, you know, David and Jonathan, right? What can I learn about Ruth and Naomi, right? So, you know, those types of relationships.
So that's interesting to me because I'm actually reading through Harry Potter for the first time.
Oh, cool.
And I know that's shame. I should have read it years ago.
I've not. I want to go through it all at one time over whatever period of time that'll take. Some breeze through it. I don't know if I'd be able to, but my kids have been reading a lot of it and I've read some of it, but my kids have read it.
My wife has read it and they, for years, have said, you've got to read. Again, the fiction thing just haven't. And so now I'm going through, I'm on book three. I've had some of those same thoughts. It's actually driven me to want to read some of the relationships in the Bible. Yeah. And I understand that as she was writing book two and three, I think she was going through depression. Mm-hmm. And so there's some imagery in there that's fascinating to me that obviously came out of those emotions. Yeah. And so it's just driving, you know, some things that I want to dig deeper into. So, that's very, very interesting.
Yeah. I would say, and same thing. You want to learn about brotherhood? Well, you've got to read novels like Matterhorn, Carl Marlanti's Vietnam, which is hard about learning brotherhood looks like, but Band of Brothers, you know, there's lots of great stories out there that help illuminate that theme while they're not directly about Scripture, you know? So I don't know. I think that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. So let's end with this. We've got time for one more question. One or just two or three books that you would recommend that maybe help build community, or if a small group wanted to do a book club, what are a couple books that you would say these are good ones to start with?
Yeah, you know, along with the Peace Like a River, which I think is a great like novel way to do it, I would say the next category would be study the life of someone else in history. So, Brian, we were talking about John Adams, for example. I read Ron Chernow's book on Ulysses S. Grant, who is it's a really long book, but it's fascinating just looking at someone who
I've started it three times.
You have it's it's a little more dry. Barnabas does not like it.
I just can't get through it.
I know. This is whenever you don't, and by the way, you don't need to read a 1,000-page book. They're like Winston Churchill, I'll give you a great example. Here's a great one. It's called Hero of the Empire by Candace Millard. First of all, like female historians right now, like Doris Kearns Goodwin, Lynn Olson. They're fantastic. But Churchill, you know, he's got volumes in terms of that go into his biographies. What I would say, go into something that's fascinating of a study. Hero of the Empire is about kind of the making of the legend of Winston Churchill. And it's about when he fought, well, he was a war correspondent during the Boer War in South Africa. Most people don't know about it. Think turn of the century, 1900-ish. And he was a war correspondent who became a prisoner of war for the British. And they're fighting against the Boers who are like, think of like Dutch Africans. One of the Afrikaans language kind of is born out of kind of that time frame. But he, you know, it's about him being a prisoner of war and escaping. And he escapes, he makes it out alive, and he tells the story. And part of Winston Churchill being what he is the fact that he goes on tour telling his story. He makes his own legend in a way. Teddy Roosevelt was really good at that as well, mm-hmm. kind of exploiting a lot of those stories. So find a story, like a person that you really want to tackle. It doesn't have to be the longest book. I think it just needs to be something interesting. I read a great bio on Eric Little from YWAM that they published with my daughter. I read it out loud to her. It was 200 pages. It was great. There's all these things about Eric Little I didn't know about, and I felt like we've all kind of grown up learning about Eric Little.
Right. What about a Christian book? What would you recommend?
So I would say Onward by Russell Moore. It's one we published. It's fantastic. But here's the thing. There's a Bible study as well that really goes in depth in the issues. But in terms of the book, think about getting a group of friends together and just talking about key cultural issues, having a conversation about them. I think a next step is go in depth into the Bible study, no doubt. But if you want to kind of bring people into like, you know what, the issues of the, you know, the gospel and homosexuality and how we approach this as Christians, of how we love people, of how we help bring them and of truths of scripture, that's a valuable discussion that happens on like a basic level of a friend talking to a friend first. Mm-hmm. And then after that, boy, dig into scripture, because scripture is going to teach us a lot more, I'd say. So
cool.
There you go. Some good ones.
That's
good.
Speaking of readers, Dr. Moore is one of those guys that's an avid reader.
A lot of the books I've recommended are ones I know he's read or has referenced as well. So you look at someone like him, they look at him for a lot of answers. And
to your point, he told me one time that he always carries with him when he travels a book of canonical poetry and a book of canonical fiction. And he loves Eudora Welty, I think it is, fellow Mississippian or C. Alabamian, something like that. So David, did you know, are you familiar with the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network? Have you heard of that?
I've heard about it somewhere.
Well, you are on it right now. You're on the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Yes, you are. And we want to point out another podcast on the network, Ask Me Anything. If you haven't heard it, it's by J.D. Greer and Matt Love. It is part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. They've recently covered topics like, what is the greatest need in the American church? What would you say to an atheist? And should I expect to feel satisfied in my job or by my job? So just look up Ask Me Anything on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.
And speaking of subscribe, we would love it if you would go to wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a rating and leave a comment. We do enjoy reading those, and they do inform future topics.
Five stars, people. That's what Brian that's, and Chris
I said it
five
with my
stars.
Eyes, which doesn't five translate
stars.
Over.
We're
over
a five-star podcast right
that's
here.
Right, five-star. Five-star podcast. Five-star podcast. That's right. That's right. You're waiting on me. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Group Answers. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Dave Schrader, and look forward to doing it again.